This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Good morning and welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. Hour number three already. All right, let's run way down south, down the coast. Let's check in with our good friend, Captain Rihanna De La Cruz, see what she's up to this morning. Rihanna, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Mickey. How are you doing?
I'm good. What's up with you?
Man, a whole lot. It's been a busy week. I'll tell you what.
Well,
it's
good.
Been a good busy week. Yeah, you know, this week, the moon phase that we're in right now, you know, the week after a new moon is one of my favorites. You know, of course, the week before the new moon, the week after, you just never know what you're going to hook into.
Right.
And I always anticipate this time of the month for a good reason. Man, I tell you what, we were on a good trout bite this week, all week long, of course, during them. And it seemed like it was during the minor. We had a lot of good opportunities for trout bites. Most of our big trout that we caught were during the minor all week this week. Some days we had a trout bite throughout the whole day. It was kind of spread out.
Yeah.
You know, gradually every couple of hours we would hook into, you know, a good trout, you know, every couple of hours. But, you know, some days the wind was blowing, some days it would calm down in between, you know, it would shift around or it would die down a little bit, then it would pick up in the afternoon, of course. But we've got a lot of water, you know, in our base system. We're fishing areas that 2 weeks ago was pretty skinny, you know, so we're getting up way up on those flats. You know, I'm fishing in knee deep water. You know, we're up several hundred yards further up than where we've normally been, you know, a couple weeks prior. And, you know, we've had that a lot of east in our wind here lately. And so I think that's pushing a lot of water up on those flats, pushing a lot of that shallower stuff, that shallow bait, all the fish that were way, way up skinny, it's pushing them a little bit further out. And so, gosh, we've had so many great opportunities this week. I know Monday morning, it was kind of calm in the mornings, and then it would pick up later about mid-morning, but we would have a little window of opportunity where the wind wasn't completely howling. And, of course, you know, where I fish, the water stays pretty clear. That turtle grass, it filters that water very nicely. It keeps it pretty clear, unless it's blowing 50 miles an hour or 40, gusting 40, then yeah, it's going to chalk it up and dirty it up pretty good. But, you know, 20 mile an hour wind, that water is still somewhat clear. You can still see the scattered grass and the scattered potholes in the area that you're fishing, despite, you know, a howling east, southeast wind. And so Monday morning, you know, started out the week with a couple of guys and you know, started up shallow in an area that we've been producing some pretty good trout. And these guys, one of them was from Louisiana and the other one was from up from Matagorda area. He's a guide up there. And so I told him, man, we're going to, you know, they were looking for a big trout. And I said, man, we're going to go to an area that has been producing pretty good trout bites. There's good opportunity here. There's a lot of bait. We're starting to see some 3 to 4 inch shrimp jumping, which is great. I mean, of course, the water temperature is pretty warm. I mean, yesterday it was a scorcher. So I didn't fish yesterday. I don't like to fish on weekends, especially the weekend before spring break. I avoid the weekend like the plague. So I fished all week. I don't like to mess with that. I'll let the weekenders and the other folks have at it. I'll just stay out of their way. So that's what I did. But Monday we got on a good little bite, and it was during the minor, kind of around 9 o'clock, 9 to 10. And where we're fishing, you know, I don't know the name of the grass, but it's kind of a maroon color. It's real dense. And man, when you accidentally drag a lure through it, it catches it pretty quick.
Yeah.
Well, I was throwing around an edge of one of those little dense grass beds like that, and you could see swirls, you could see bait flicking on the outside edges of those, and sure enough, man, I hooked into one. I thought, and prior to that, we were catching a lot of reds, decent reds, slot reds. Well, this fish came up and boiled on the upper column, and mind you, I'm fishing knee deep water, so we're fishing a column that's probably about a foot deep, you know, a foot wide. Or you got to work that. And I was throwing a little John Golden brim. I had just downsized and 5 casts into that switch. This fish rolled. I mean, she churned that water up. I could see that grass rolling. When she hit it, I thought it was a monster red. And when I set that hook, it was heavy. And she was nose diving. And I said, man, I think it's a big old red. And it wasn't a red. But I kept reeling right. She was running straight at me and nose diving. And I said, I don't know what it is. I haven't seen her. She came right up to me. And, of course, I had my boat drifting. Because it was blowing, you know, and I try to keep it close for my guys. And, of course, it was drifting during this hookup. And I saw her. She came. One of my guys was right next to me. And he's like, what is it? Have you seen it? I said, man, I haven't seen it. And I got her close, and she surfaced, and it was a big trout. I said, man, it's a big trout.
And you know, somehow those big fish will do that. Some of those big trout, they'll stay down. They try to. They'll hug the bottom during their fight, and the other ones, they come to the top.
Come up.
You know, it's crazy.
Well, you know, Mickey, one thing I've noticed, the hook on this trout was right in the corner of the mouth. I mean, barely hooked in the corner of the mouth. When I saw her, she came up, and she was, I mean, I could grab her how close she was, and I put my power poles down, and I saw that hook just come. She just came unbuckled. I saw her head. She shook, and my guy saw her. She shook one or two times, and then that hook came right out.
I said, man,
she got off. I said, but she was a good one. She was pretty. You could see that defined lateral line on her, you know. It was real dark. Yeah, she was every bit of 8 pounds. I can honestly say that with how heavy she was.
Right.
She was heavy. I mean, I thought it was a big old bull red, and it was that trout. So my guy saw it. He said, man, I said, that would hurt a little bit. Just a little bit. It stung a little seeing her get off. But I said, you know what? You can't catch them all. It's all part of the process.
Well, you were going to turn her loose anyway. You just didn't get a photo of her. That's the whole deal.
Didn't get a picture. You know? Was able to see her. But, you know, one thing I've noticed, you know, sometimes those trout that are hooked right on the side of the mouth like that, they don't come up like the ones that do that are hooked in the gill plate or further deep within their mouth, because they realize they've got something in there that's not supposed to be there. And so I've been throwing a lot of corky devils lately, and that's what I've been catching a lot of my big trout on. Because, you know, corky devils, they've got that hook right on the, you know, right on the head of the bait. And so, after losing that big trout, I said, man, if a trout decides to commit to my lure, I want her to get hooked. And so I've been throwing those Corky Devils just because of that, the success rate, you know, as far as getting the trout hooked on those baits are. And so they typically will swallow them down a little bit more. And when they do, they tend to shake their head. They go crazy, which is fun.
Yeah, if you
watch.
Hook them deep in one of those, they do some head shaking and
they do.
Surface
they do.
Activity, and they go crazy, man.
They hook do. They do. Yeah. And so, you know, after that, I switched over to, I don't know the name of the color, because I know Mirror Lure has numbers for their colors, and the Paul Brown Corky Devils, but it's a purple, and I've had a lot of luck on this color in the soft on in Baffin, you know, in that chalky, you know, just stained green water. It's purple, and it's got chartreuse all on the bottom side. That color there in the Paul Brown Soft Iron XL and in the Corky Devil. I've been throwing it in the Corky Devil, and on Tuesday and Wednesday, that bait was what I caught all my big trout on, every single one of them. You know, they had bent that that wire so bad that I was trying to get it back to normal, which is, it's hard to do, especially if you hook into a couple of redfish on that thing.
Yeah, redfish, they destroy it where you can't get the wire right in there and get your bait back the shape you want it, you know.
Yeah, and they,
it's a bad thing about it.
I had a couple of redfish. Yeah, they kind of did it in. So
what kind of cloud did you have, cloud cover or clear skies or what, when you were throwing that purple and chartreuse?
Clear skies.
It
was hazy. You know,
if I had to guess, that's what I would think. Let me knock this break out, Rihanna. Hang on a second. I'll be right back at you.
All right.
You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show. It's 618 here in the Bayou City. All right, Rihanna, we're back at it.
Yes, sir, I'm here.
I'm glad you're still there.
Glad to be here. Hey, you know, I know it's off the subject, but on Monday, the SpaceX launch was scheduled to go off, and I had a, you know, I've got a four-year-old. And I think a lot of folks don't realize that I am a mom first before I'm a fisherman, and I had promised my girl to up and take her over there, watch the rocket launch. And so I rushed off the water quick. We didn't get off the water till like 3. And so I rushed off the water, we got over there, and they canceled it, and I was like, oh my goodness. But you know what really amazed me about that rocket launch is how many people show up to watch that. I didn't realize how many folks travel a long ways. I mean, I saw people with Bucky's products, you know. I mean, of course, Bucky's, I don't know which Bucky's they came from, but Bucky's a pretty good long way.
Well, it's
here.
On one I know of going down there is 59 there, you know, around Wharton.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, that's a long,
you know, Robert Cervello, he's down there at Port Isabel. He's a guy down there, and he sent me a video. You wouldn't believe how many boats are out on the water watching that.
Yes.
It's pretty cool.
Yes,
it's a big event. Everybody likes
it. It is. I didn't realize.
Boca Chica.
It was very neat. Yeah, it was very neat to see all the people that event brings together. It was really, really neat to see. So, we barely made it on time. And, of course, it was scheduled for 5:30. And, I mean, I was pulling into the gate right at 5:25, and I told my daughter, I said, all right, baby, just get ready. I said, because it's either fixing the launch or it's not. And so the wind was howling too, but and I think they were having issues, technical issues with the rocket anyways, or in that instance there, you know, that rocket comes back down and lands. I think when the wind's howling that much, it might be a little difficult for that thing to come back and land on that platform.
Yeah.
So I don't know they rescheduled it for the following day, and I was like, gosh, maybe we can try to make it again. And so yeah, I didn't get off the water till late on Tuesday. So I was like, and they canceled it again. So it kept pushing forward and forward. And so finally on Thursday it went off, and I was fishing all day Thursday anyways too. So yeah, but Tuesday, Wednesday were some pretty interesting days as far as fishing goes. The morning bite was a little tricky. You know, we caught some good fish, but nothing spectacular. You know, four to five pounders, lots of redfish. Gosh, the redfish are out. They are out to play right now.
Right.
They are, and you know what? Another thing that we've noticed is an abundance of stingrays, small stingrays. I mean,
they ought to be pouring in by the hundreds now.
They are. That water temperature yesterday got up to, I looked at it, got up to about 78, and that's in the harbor. Up in those flats, where I'm fishing, where it's knee deep, I guarantee you got up past 80 degrees.
I'm sure it did. Y'all will be coming out of your waders for long.
Yep, yesterday. If I was fishing yesterday, I would not have been in waders. Gosh, I did. You know, this time of year, too, mixed in with fishing, I'm doing a lot of housework. Spring cleaning, power washing, you know, gardening and planting and all kinds of house.
You got a green thumb, huh?
Yeah, I like to plant, peppers. I like to have peppers and tomatoes.
Man, I couldn't live without tomatoes and peppers, man. I love them.
Oh, yeah. Yep, I mean, I like to make salsa.
I don't even eat breakfast anymore without hot sauce on my eggs. My wife makes a big-time hot sauce, you know. You can't hardly find any hot jalapenos anymore. You have to use serranos. That's right up my alley.
The jalapenos that I like to plant, gosh, they're flaming hot.
Sometimes they got some good heat to them. Oh, that's good.
Yes. Yeah, then they're real crunchy, you know, when you pull them right off the vine.
Uh-huh.
And they're just super crunchy, you know. There's nothing like a vine ripe anything. You know, when you pull it right off that vine, you know, there's no preservatives. There's no, you know, wax on it from being in the grocery store. It's fresh. And so I like having that luxury.
Yes,
of,
I'm with you.
You know, this time of year, as far as produce goes, I'll do with what I can, plant what I can, but in between fishing, that's kind of what goes on this time of year once it starts warming up. And
now you sound like a normal Texan.
Yep, just trying to make life a little easier and have access to some things that just make life a little bit easier, you know, especially this time of year.
When you're fishing every day, do you have somebody that keeps her for you?
Yes, I do. I do. And so I've got all
that
set up, and yeah, it makes, I wouldn't be able to fish if it weren't for that. So, I'm very fortunate, to have the people I have in my life to help me out with that.
That's
so
good.
But yeah, she's going to be going to school next year. So
pre-K.
Pre-K. And so for me, it's like a shock for me because she's always there with me. And of course, the minute she goes to school, I think it's going to change a lot. She's going to want to be with her friends, and she's going to want to be doing her own little thing. And so yeah, right now she's at that age where she's always clean to me, and so I love it when I'm away, when I'm fishing, and
every kid has to have a good mama.
Mm-hmm. It's hard, and I think a lot, you know, and I always try to keep my personal life personal and private.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of folks don't really realize that I think a lot of people don't even know that I'm a mom or that I have a daughter.
I do. That's the first thing you told me when we met, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's,
yep. And
you know,
so,
my little grandson, he's staying with me this weekend. I've been having fun with him. He's something else. He'll be six this month. He's finally going to turn six.
Oh, my goodness. Does he like to go out there and fish with you?
Oh, yeah. He's outdoorsy big time. His daddy's been taking him duck hunting with him this winter.
Yeah, at 6 years old, that's at an age where he's a little sponge and he can get after it and do everything kind of on his own. Does he cast pretty well and reel in pretty well
yeah.
and all that?
Yeah, just like my son was when he was that age. Just start him off with a little Snoopy rig and then just graduate him to more big boy rigs as they grow up and can handle a rod that long and all that. So that's
See, at the Houston Fishing Show, they have that little the kids' activities, and so I took my daughter over there. She won a fishing rod.
Oh, cool!
A little cute Snoopy pole, and so she's been wanting to go fishing, and I told her, baby, when I come back to Baffin, we'll go out there, and we'll fish. And so she's been asking me, let's go fishing, Mama, let's go fishing. I said, soon, baby, when it warms up, then you get those sunny days where the wind isn't blowing too hard, it's easy for me to get out there with her. I don't like to take her out when it's blowing,
it's 20 miles gotta
an hour.
Be more favorable for them, comfortable,
of
you
course.
Know.
Of course.
I remember
course.
Growing up, following my dad and all his old pros, what they called all them old men he waded with down on the West End back in the day. I'd follow him wade fishing. I'd be scared to death. Mm-hmm. I'd fish a little bit, but I was looking in the water. Stingrays following you while you're wading. When you're a little kid, that scares you.
Of course. Yeah, it is scary seeing all that.
That's how I grew up, following them old cronies around. Fishing with them, which, was pretty good. I learned a whole lot from them real quick.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Throwing plugs. That's what they call it. Plugging.
Plugging.
Yeah.
It's funny, all of the slang words that you learn in the
fish terminology,
world.
Man.
Yes. Yeah. I learned one the other day. I didn't know what it was called, but, you see a lot of these burn boats, especially before tournaments, and you'll see them running. You'll see them zigzagging up on the flats. I mean, all the way as far as you can see. And so they are pushing those fish up. They want to see them surface. Well, they've got a term for that, and they call it squirting. And I was like, squirting?
Squirting.
And so that's what they call it whenever they're zigzagging up through them flats and they're trying to make those fish come up.
Well, I've been around a long time and I've never heard that term.
Me either. That's a new one to me. I said, okay, whatever.
Okay.
So I guess whenever I see them up there, zigzagging up in the flats.
We always called it waking or, look at all of them pushing wakes and.
Yeah, that's at least the more decent sounding term for it.
Yeah, squirting.
Yeah, when I heard that, I was like, huh, interesting. Okay, interesting. Well, I guess, I think it's a lot of the newer terminology, from the younger guys, that come up with these words, and it's interesting to hear.
Fish slang.
Fish slang, it's very interesting. But yeah, on Thursday, our bite picked up big time, and even though we had a small window again, I don't know why we've got the wind picks up mid-morning, but you always have a little small window where you can get in there and it's not blowing too bad, but even then with the wind, I always tell people this, the wind is your friend down here. It promotes a lot of activity. It promotes, even though it'll chalk up the water, it's easier to sneak up on the fish when that water is gin clear. And in the mornings, of course, it's gin clear, but that sun is coming up. It's a little bit hazy. Clarity is not too great, even though the water is clear, but the sky isn't so clear and that sun's coming up. It's not, right above you where it's shining straight down in that water. You've got a window, a great window of opportunity in the mornings, and our bite on Thursday, it started pretty early. I want to say like around 8:30 on our first wade. We hooked one of my friends. She hooked into a 7-pounder on a double D. So they were coming up. They were feeding a little bit towards the upper column, and one thing that we've noticed, whenever we see seagulls diving, and they're hovering. You see them seagulls hovering over an area, several of them. Even those other birds are white, and they kind of, I think they're like terns, I think.
Oh, yeah,
they are.
You got greater and lesser terns. Yeah, the lessers we call lyre birds because a lot of times they don't tell the truth. But the big terns with the yellow bill and the black eyebrows, they're spot on. They're fish hawks, man.
They have been diving in a lot of the areas that we've, and of course, you know, I always tell folks I fish my eyes, and I won't stop in an area unless I see something.
Right.
Something that convinces me that there is bait in that area. And one of them on Thursday was pelicans. There was several white pelicans just sitting and floating over an area, and there were several of them in a little, you know, little area, maybe about 200-300 yards wide, you know, and I knew there was potholes right in there, deeper potholes, and about just above knee deep water, just ideal. I was like, okay, that's all I got to see.
So, all right, let me roll this next breakout, and I'll come back at you. I've got a couple of questions for you from listeners. All right, hang on a second.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman.
Good morning. Welcome back to The Outdoor Show. All right. It's 6:37 here in the Bayou City. All right, Rihanna, we are back.
All righty. Still here.
Had one listener want to know, said, you know, you fish with a Little John a lot and wanted to know what that color was with the glitter in it.
Golden brim?
Golden brim. That's it. All right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that one, earlier in the week, I had just, I mean, literally just downsized, because we saw a lot of slicks early in the morning. I mean, super early when we were heading out. And I figured that they had already kind of fed, you know, maybe they already fed early in the morning. So they weren't wanting the XL, catching a lot of reds on the XL, and I had just downsized to the Golden Brim. And five casts into it was whenever I caught that one trout that came unbuckled. She just, you know, of course, we're foul hooking pinfish in the area that we're fishing.
Oh, you got a lot of bait then if you're foul hooking piggies and stuff.
Yep, we're foul hooking them. I foul hooked one a couple the week before last on a Jose soft on, and I took a picture of it, that piggy and that pinfish and that Jose are the same
real
size.
Similar,
I
mean, similar patterns,
very
yeah.
Similar colors, too. I mean, those pinfish have a little bit of copper, gold shine
right.
in them. And that Jose is gold. It's got gold shimmer, and it's got black dots on it. It's one of my favorite colors to throw in these high-pressure, clear skies. You know, water's a little bit clear, a little bit chalky, you know, especially with the bait that's present in the areas that we're fishing.
Well, it's no secret. Big trout like those piggies, man.
They do. And, gosh, there's a lot of them. There's a lot of them right here, right
well,
now.
That just lets you know you're fishing in big trout when you got all those piggies like
we're
that.
We're in primo waters. Yeah, we're fishing
yeah,
primo.
Buddy. Oh, and another question from a listener said, how tall is Rihanna? And what length of rod does she use at her height? And what's her favorite reel?
Okay, well, I'm 5'3", so I'm pretty short and pretty vertically challenged.
I'm start calling you low tide.
There you go. I like it. I'll roll with
that's
it.
That's cool.
So I typically throw the Sarge Priest, but I will mention this. Here in the last 2 weeks, I recently started using the Sarge Boss, which is a 6'5" rod.
The Sarge what? Boss?
Boss. The Boss, yes. And
okay.
I love it. And so
now, that's a 6'5"?
6'5". It's an inch shorter than the Priest.
Right.
And I paired it. I went over to the Houston Fishing Show, and our good friend Mike Herring took me over to the Bates booth over there, and I went home with one of those new baits, Salty Hondo.
Yeah, I got a couple of them, and you can't kill them. They're pretty
nope.
impressive.
So I paired that.
Pretty pricey
ball.
Too. They're pretty pricey.
Yes, I know it. But you know what? I think I truly believe from that's all I've been throwing is the Sarge Boss paired with that Salty Hondo, and of course I throw. Braid 20-pound Suffolk 832.
I was just fixing to ask you because I just got a text going, what kind of line does she like?
Yep, Suffolk 832.
832. I've never thrown Suffolk.
I love it. That is my go-to line. I've tried other brands, and I love the Suffolk 832. I use the Coastal Camo color. It's blue. It's got a little bit of dark blue, baby blue, white in there. And
right.
You know, it blends in with the water very nicely. So, I mean, it's just, of course, it's personal preference. Everybody is different, but that's just what I use.
Yeah.
And so recently I've been throwing that Sarge Boss with that Salty Hondo, and I can tell you this right now, Mickey, the casting difference. I'm throwing that lure a lot longer, a lot further out. And that Boss has those really nice little eyelets on it. I know I had talked to Sarge yesterday, and he was telling me the dynamics of that rod because I really
what does it have a does it have a liver tip on it than the Priest?
Yeah. And I wouldn't even be able to tell you the exact dynamics of that rod. I just kind of go off of feel. And it handles heavier baits a lot better.
Yeah, well, that's probably got a lot more mid-range backbone in it then.
Yes,
you can get that.
Yes, it does.
Yeah.
It's not as whippy. It's whippy, but it's not as whippy as the Priest.
Yeah, I'm a whippy guy. I like that Priest.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good stick.
It is. I love that priest. It's great.
Plus, the one he made me and sent me, it's got my name on it, man. How about that?
Yes. He took a picture of it and sent it to me. I said, man, Mickey's going to love that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I love Sarge. He's great. What he does. And
how do you not like a guy named Sarge? I mean, that's just.
I know it.
You know?
I know it. It'd be crazy not to like him. But, you know, here's what I always say. The tools that we use out there help make the process of trout fishing easier. And that product there has made the process for me easier. It's made it more efficient, more effective. You know, I always tell my guys, especially the ones that show up with heavier rod and reel setups, and we're out there fishing in shallow water and areas where, you know, you're fishing deliberately around these little scattered grass beds, and they're throwing heavy, heavy setups. And I always tell them, you can't catch what you can't feel. You can't feel every little bump or drag or pull.
Nope,
or you can't feel that
lure
fall. Yeah, and it's not only that, but it's harder on your arms, your hands, your shoulders.
Yeah.
And all day long, you're casting something that's a little bit heavier, and then I'll hand them over my rod and reel, and I'll tell them, feel that, put that in your hands, feel that. And they're like, man, oh man, this is like the lightest rod and reel setup I've ever held. And it is, it's like 7 ounces.
Yeah, I mean, it's super light.
Super, super light. And another thing that I love about that Bates reel is that it fits in my hand. It's a little bit smaller than the Luz. It fits in my hand a little bit easier. It's not as wide, or, you know, it's not.
Yeah, my big old catcher's mitt for a hand, it just I just swallows that reel.
Yes. Yeah, so that's what I've been throwing here lately, and I love it. Gosh, you can.
I learned something from Hillman on those salty hundos. They have that ceramic, like donut bearing in there.
Yes.
And
yes, they do.
He said that he'll take it out, the bearing out, and then just wipe it down real smooth with oil. You know, all on the outside and the inside, just real light coat with his finger, just rub it on there and put it back in, and he gets another 6 or 8 yards of cast out of it like that. It makes it so much smoother and quieter.
Smoother.
Yeah, so if you get it, if it starts making
a
little noise on you, just do that.
Yeah, I did.
Just don't put a lot of oil on it and drown it. Just, you know, just a thin
little
coat.
Dab. Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit goes a long ways. Yeah,
yes.
I know it. I typically oil up my reels. If I'm fishing 5 days out of the week, I'll usually oil them up
for the following week.
Yeah, I did notice on Friday it was starting to sound a little, you know, a little rough, you know, like it needed a little bit more oil. But when you're using it 5 days a week, 6 days out of the week, it's going to happen, you know. And usually I'll rinse them off. I'll usually rinse off all my gear.
That's a must down there with the salty water y'all have. Extremely salty.
Yes, it is.
You know, I'm fortunate up here. My equipment lasts a lot longer because I'm more brackish type water.
Of course. Yeah, and down here, and especially in Baffin, my goodness, it's brutal in Baffin. Down, you know, here in Mansfield, it's, you know, we got a lot of moving salt water, but it's still salty.
That's a whole nother animal there, man. That's the saltiest water you'll ever. That's just crazy. Hang your waders up and dry them, and then the next day you can just stand them up in the corner. They're like they got starch in them. They're so salty.
Yeah, I'm laughing because it's true.
It is true.
Clothes and everything. Yeah,
I'm telling you.
You know, we got back out there on Thursday, and, you know, I was going into, you know, kind of going through the day in the morning and how it started. You know, it started off by identifying those three white pelicans, and I saw them floating out there, and I was like, that's all I got to see right there. And we sat down, and we had a wind that was angling perfect, you know, early in the morning. And we came in there and all of a sudden we started seeing seagulls hovering over an area that we were wading towards.
Right.
And so I looked over and I said, we're fixing to get bit. You know, first off, a couple redfish here and there. And then, of course, I was throwing a Corky Devil. And a friend of mine was throwing a Double D, and that's when she hooked it to that 7-pounder. And then later on, it progressively got better and better, you know, as the morning went on. So it started off with that 7-pounder, and then shortly after that, I hooked into a nice trout. She was probably about 5. She weighed about 5 1/2. Not real long, but short and fat.
Yeah,
and when
good
I reeled her up,
fish, yeah.
I mean, and she stumped that lure hard, and I'm fully committed by it. When I bogeyed her, it sounded like it was croaking, and I pulled it up, and I said, you hear that?
That's a male.
I thought it was a male, but what it was, I kid you not, I don't know if she had just ate something, but she had something in her belly that was moving and croaking.
Oh, and there you go.
And I was
maybe
like,
it's a small male trout.
I don't know what it was, Mickey. I've never seen this before, and even my friend was astounded by it because usually that croak is kind of more in the gills, like right underneath the gills area, kind of up toward, you know. And this was coming out of her belly, and it was like we put our fingers right there on her belly and felt it moving and croaking in her stomach. It was weird.
She just ate that fish, man.
She just ate it. Yeah,
yep.
So it was very neat to see. I've never seen that, you know, and so it must have just happened. And so, of course, after that, she went for that Corky Devil and thought she was going to get another meal, but little did she know. But, yeah, it was that fish was fat. I mean, she was healthy, full belly, you know, and she had a lot of cellulite, you know, and a very defined lateral line. All these fish that we've been catching have been, for the most part, very healthy, you know, not very long, but real fat.
I've been seeing a lot of fish like that down your way, kind of the way our fish are configured up here. You know, we have those real, we don't get the length that you guys do, but we get the girth.
Yeah.
And, you know, a 30-inch trout for Galveston Bay, that's a long fish for up here.
Yes.
But,
yeah.
I mean, I remember one Trout Master tournament, Gary Wheeler weighed in a 26-inch trout that weighed 9 pounds even.
Wow.
And
wow.
You know, and my first 10 was barely 30 inches.
Wow, and that's a hog.
Yeah, and I look at some of those fish they catch down south where y'all fish, and I'm going, man, they get, you know, I caught one down there one time where it was in Baffin. It was like 32 and a half inches long, but it only went 7-12. But I caught it in August, too. You know, that's when they're all head and tail.
But, they're a little bit more on the skinny
side. It's a little bit different genetics down there than it is up here for some reason.
It certainly is. Yeah, it certainly is. You know, and of course, I like to fish in areas where there's a little bit more moving water. You know, and as well as bait, you know, I mean, I won't fish an area where I don't see any signs of bait. And so they have a buffet available to them to choose from, as far as bait goes. And I know, last week I had slayed a couple of reds and trout, and sometimes I'll look in the stomach and see what they've got in there. And those redfish, where they had a lot of small crabs in their bellies. I mean, you could see the little pinchers. They were really tiny.
Uh-huh.
So they're just feeding on bottom, picking up those little crabs. But, and most of these redfish, their tails are really, really blue. So there's a lot of crabs.
Blue
crabs. Yep, there's a lot of blue crabs.
I remember the old timers used to say when we catch all them bronzeback trouts up here, you know, they look like pumpkins. They're so orange and bronze. They said, they're feeding on shrimp. Shrimp makes them that color.
Well, you know, that 7-pounder that I caught on Thursday later in the day, she was very bronzy. And, of course, she swallowed down that Corky Devil, that purple one. and she had that bronze tent, that video that I posted.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was a beautiful fish, man. The spots and the colors of that fish. Gorgeous.
Yep. She was right at 7. And just prior to that, maybe about an hour prior to that, I caught one that was about 6.5. And then earlier in the morning was whenever I caught that one with that bait fish or whatever, their belly croaking.
Right.
And then, of course, early that morning, that's when my friend caught a 7. So that day, was just stellar.
Yeah, there you go.
Steady, big trout bite all morning long. And one thing I've noticed, too, here, when I'm throwing that Corky Devil, I'm not catching a whole lot of small trout on that.
You won't. That bait catches big fish. I mean,
it does.
I don't know why. It just does. It's kind of like, you know, Mirror Lure bought out Maniac Mullet, and they have a Maniac Mullet. It's real similar to the Corky Devil, but
bait.
It has that little forked tail on it. I remember we had one year that, hey, if you weren't throwing that, I mean, every fish you'd catch on it was 5 pounds or bigger. They were just, we were smoking them on it.
Yep, I do like that bait. I like that flat front face on it. You know, it just kind of, I would assume it creates a lot of vibration. And you know,
well, it displaces water when you jig it, you know, and stop it.
Of course.
And that's what's so unique about that Corky Devil, man. That thing is so buoyant, and you can just slow it down. You can fish it real shallow and never grass up, and you can slow it down and give that trout a good, you know, stable target to advance on. It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm telling you, that bait there has been my top producer in the last, I want to say, about 3 weeks. And so,
okay, it'll catch some big fish, man. I've seen some big trout caught on that bait, man.
Oh yeah, yep. And when they decide to commit, I want her to get hooked, and so that's the bait that I've just, when I build confidence in a lure, or, you know, a jig or whatever, I tend to stick with it for a while until they don't want it anymore.
I mean, it's common sense. If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Absolutely. And so,
fish it out.
And so that's one, you know, that color, that purple one, of course, she got retired because he got bent up pretty good. And so the next one that I had.
Conversation piece.
yes. I have it hanging right there on my boat for people to kind of look at and, you know, get an idea of what they're really wanting. And so the next one.
All right, Rihanna, hey, I'd hate to cut you off. We could keep going.
I know it.
I've got to run.
We'll
I'm out of time. But, hey, throw them out a number. Somebody wants to call you and come down to Port Mansfield and catch big trout right now.
Well, I've got some days open this coming week. So if you want to make a wade in Mansfield for some big trout, now's the time. You can give me a call at 361-296-5400. Let's make a wade.
All right. Well, have you a good, fun Sunday, and appreciate the info, and I'll talk to you next week. You be safe, Rihanna.
All right.
Later,
you too,
girl.
Mickey. Later.
All right. All right. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back Thursday morning bright and early, 4 a.m. right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least 3 times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.